mighty, wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you again so much for that name. God, if it would be, let us love your appearing the much the more today. Put a fervency in our heart to see the face of Christ. God, thank you for that wonderful, that lamb slain. God, help us to just want to draw nigh. Lord, help us to want to come boldly today. Lord, help us to get rid of all these weights of indifference, Lord, and to draw nigh, to draw fervently, to draw quickly, Lord, to draw in sincerity, Lord Jesus, and knowing that you are God, and hallelujah, you are God, and you're a God that highly favors your children. Lord, we're not to be ashamed, Lord Jesus. You have given us your life. And thank you that we stand before the throne as the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Lord, help us to lay claim to who we are in Christ today. Lord, let us live the victory of the grace of God. Help us to grow up into you in all things. Help us to be true worshipers that worship you in spirit and in truth. And in that we say yea and amen, and we know it's only the working of your Spirit that it's going to get it done. We thank you today. We commit it to you. May we magnify the wondrous name of Jesus. In his name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, brothers and sisters, as you're turning to the book of Jonah, I gave you a hint about a fish. And we understand what a wonderful, wonderful brother, and what a wonderful, wonderful story. But we understand that Jonah, a prophet of God, a godly man, can you imagine he disobeys God? Can you imagine he tries to run from God? He tries to flee. God told him to go to Nineveh to preach the word. Jonah, he had a different idea. He said, I'm going to Tarshish. God's not going to find me there. Boy, did he find out, didn't he? So he flees, he gets on a ship. The waves start just bouncing around like never before. There were some sweet men on that ship. They didn't want to cast him over, did they? They loved him. There was something going on there. God will explain more to us, I'm sure, on the other side. I'd like to have many things to ask him about. But after he tells me why he loved me, I don't know. That might take forever right there. But, I'm so thankful for that. Lord, your love constrained me. But he's cast over the ship, and this is where we're going to pick it up here in Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now, let me tell you something. That's quite a distance from God. But it wasn't any distance at all, was it? Praise be to God. Even out of the belly of hell. Amen. Thou hast heard me. Thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. And the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. You can see the conflict going on with this brother. I'm telling you, there's so many things here. But I mean, this guy's in prayer and he's having a problem. You ever been in prayer and have a problem? Oh, I know that wasn't you. But listen to these words. This is a dear brother. This is a prophet speaking to God face to face. It's wonderful. But let me tell you something. There's a battle going on, and there was a battle going on here in the belly of a fish. Verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I'm starting to sink into self-pity. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Here we go. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, there is just so much here. I mean, how long has it been since you read just the second chapter of Jonah? You could see how this could go on and on. And I pray that God does bring this on and on in our lives. And I don't know if He'll bring us back here if the Lord tarries, but there's so much to glean. But this is one of my favorite of favorites. The Lord always has me reading this and never ceases a smile crossing my face. Never ceases that He continues to allow us to glean a little bit more here and a little bit more there. But we're going to hone in on that eighth verse today, brothers and sisters. And in that eighth verse, we'll read it one more time here. It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now, this story is full of lying vanities. Lying vanities, empty lies. Let's just get it done. Empty lies. Empty lies of Jonah's self-will. Empty lies of Jonah's self-indulgence. Empty lies of Jonah's self-condemnation. And I think you're starting to see a pattern here. Self and self and self and self. And self has one path. I want you to understand that. And it leads only to one place. And that is self-destruction. It's the truth. We've been rejoicing in the Lord. How it's not of man to even direct his steps. We know that our direction of steps is destruction. But He leads in the way of everlasting. A man, a prophet of God, here he sits so distraught in the belly of a fish with seaweed on his head. And this is a prophet, and he's sitting there for 3 days and for 3 nights before he even begins to pray. Now you think about this. Come on, brother, you shouldn't have been there more than 3 minutes. Seen some rib, a couple sloppy fish in there, and saying, Lord, I think I need to pray. But you see, I'm going to tell you something. He had given up. He had totally given up. This brother was on the run from God. He was ashamed. He was consumed in guilt. So many different things. But this situation had completely overtaken him. And it had overtaken him so much, he didn't realize the miracle that he was sitting in. You think about this. He was cast over a ship. Hey, brother Jonah, wake up. Do you realize what just happened to your life? God spared you. Do you see that? Now, I'm not going out there and telling you to tempt God, but this guy even tried to kill himself and it couldn't happen. Come on now. Think about how many things are in this. Really? God had a plan. And you're not going to stop that plan. Praise be to God. You're not. Give it over to Him. But He had a plan for this life. And I think of, you know, really saying, hey, brother, you know, God spared you. And He didn't just spare you. He spared you like nobody else had ever been spared in a lot of ways. He kept you in the belly of a fish. He prepared a fish to swallow you. Like man comes back, well, see, a whale couldn't. His throat is too small. It couldn't get down there. Listen, dummy. He prepared a fish. God already took care of that. He knows man and how stupid they're going to be. And He may have prepared a whale. Yeah, He might have. But all I know is He prepared a fish. So, there you go. Now, don't get scientific on me. I understand a whale is not a fish. I got to cut that out. I'll get real ornery real quick. But see, it was hard for this brother to imagine. Just like it's hard for us to imagine. When we fail, when we run from God, that God can still love us. And not just still love us, that He never left us. That He never left us. Brother David said, man, you know, if I make my bed in hell, do you know God is there? Do you know that? Oh, brother, and it's true. There's things we should stay away from. God says to even flee the very appearance of evil. But you know what? If you're tempted and you enter into that and you go that way, do you know that He still never left you nor forsook you? Do you know that? Do you understand how much He loves you? And I ask you today, how many times do you think God has spared your life? Huh? How many times? You can maybe divinely think, well, once or twice or something like... No, I'm telling you. How many times has God prepared a belly of a fish for you to save you. Not just to swallow you, but to save you. And I was just sitting there and I was thanking the Lord. And I said, you know, Lord, it's at least 1,000 times at least that I know of. And I mean it. And really, it's every day. It's every day. This brother was having a bout in and out of the belly of that fish for 10 verses here as he was praying. Lord, help my unbelief. Let me go boldly. And my goodness, brothers and sisters, let this speak to us today that you have purpose. You've got great purpose. And I'm not just saying that to try to build you up in yourself, because that would be absolutely wrong and I would be defeating you. The only reason that anybody has purpose is because you're a child of the King. Because God loves you. Because you have a Father that will never give up on you. Now know this. We have all played the prodigal. We have. Now I've had people come up to me and say, well, brother, you've never played him like I did. You don't realize how bad I have been. You didn't go so far from the kingdom. Well, you know what? We all are sons, and we all are different sons. We're all different vessels, and I understand that. But let me tell you one thing. We have one thing in common that's the only thing that counts. We have the same Father. We have the same Father. And we have the same undying love that is given to us of the Father. And it does not matter how far you think you have gone from the kingdom. The beautiful thing is it's one step back. It's just one glance toward the kingdom. It's one prayer in the belly of the fish. It's just acknowledging the name of Jesus. And you enter into the throne room. You enter in right into the temple of God like this brother. And he cries out. He says, my son is home. You didn't have to prepare anything. I've prepared everything. That prodigal, it's so true. It was one thought of the kingdom. It was one thought to remember his love for me. I remember that he said, you know what? I abide faithful. I abide faithful. And one step. And praise be to God, I'm in the presence of the throne room. Not to be judged. That couldn't be anyways. It's to be highly favored. Hallelujah. Every time we enter in Jesus' name, do you hear the Father say, son, what can I do for you? Let's sit down and talk about my love. Let's sit down and just fellowship together, honey. Let me show you how much I do love you. By faith, son. By faith. Now listen to verse 7. I'm going to preach you the whole thing here, aren't I? I told you it was 8. How could we not? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Is it time to say in Jesus' name?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? What you got today, I'll tell you what you got. You got in Jesus' name.
Right.
That's what you got. You got but God. But God, in Jesus' name, it doesn't matter what it is. I need a job in Jesus' name. I need a touching body in Jesus' name. I need a touching spirit, encouragement. Lord, I just need help in Jesus' name. Know it. And it's not just something flippant to say. I'm telling you, you better realize where you're at right now. If you're so discouraged, you're in the belly of a stinking fish. And it's time to arise. It's time to fellowship. And he's fellowshipping with you. I'm telling you, in the belly of hell, this brother's crying out. And praise be to God, he cried out because God was ever ready to deliver him, wasn't he? Amen. Oh, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And brothers and sisters, see, these are lying vanities, and that's exactly what they are. They're lies that have no backing. You're a child of the King. You're highly favored. You're completely forgiven. You stand before the throne completely holy and completely righteous. He can't remember your sin. He has forgotten them. Know this. Know this. That's freedom. That's liberty. That's grace. And that's the only way you're ever going to grow. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's really saying it twice if you think about it. Grow in grace and then in the knowledge of what? Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is what? Grace. Grow in grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Grow in grace upon the love of God upon grace upon the love of God. It is. It's so, it's wonderfully, joyfully, laughable, simple. But why do we have such a hard time of believing it? You know? Lord, let me grow in this. Let me just swim in it. Let me love you in it. God, it's so simple. But yet here I go. I'm leaning over to these lies that are just not even real. That's what a lie is. Did you know that? It's not true. It's a sham. And yet we make them seem so real. Like children. Oh, Daddy, I know there's something in that closet. And I go over there and I look in the closet. Well, he's under my bed now. Now, son, there's a switch in my closet that's going to bring this real quick. Thank God he doesn't work that way. It's not there. It doesn't exist. And I know you're saying, well, no, brother, we've got an enemy who's the father of lies. He's the author of them. He writes them. That's all he does. He's writing them all the time. But you got God the Father, who if he be for me, who can be against me? Do you realize that? Do you know that there be no powers but from and of God? Know this. Absolutely know it. God has it completely under control. Again, I was thinking how beautifully under control it is. And we do need to be reminded of these things. Yes, we have a devil that's out there to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I understand this very clearly, that God has him on a chain. And he does. He can only go so far. God uses him to tempt. It isn't of God to tempt. God's got a perfect one that does that. It is absolutely fabulous. I was rejoicing with a brother today. He says, well, isn't this something? He was reading there in the Grace and Glory, and I appreciate he went out and studied it out. It was talking about how Lucifer goes down there and is allowed to, given the key. And understand this, he's given the key to open that pit up. And that's a big importance. You know who holds the key to everything, don't you? Lucifer cannot do a thing that God doesn't allow him to do. There is no accident. There is no oops. There's no mistake. There's no nothing. God is a perfect God. That's part of awesome. Beyond. Beyond, beyond, beyond. And know this. And that devil is so stupid, he'll take God up on it every single time. Do you know that? By faith. Oh, was it an accident that God had the Spirit lead Christ out into the wilderness to meet him? Huh? No. He brought him out there to show him. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written is all over you. It's all over me. Live the faith that you are by the grace of God. That's the life. That's the life that he's given. The life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah. It's to our benefit to believe him, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, it sure pleases him. It sure pleases the Father. Now, you see, God wants us to give it up and to worship him now. Now. Not, well, Lord, when I get over it, because it's not going to happen. He wants you to give it up and worship him now. He wants us to come fully after him now. He wants us to judge that fleshly thing that we are still dragging around that we think is so vital to our lives. We think that that fleshly thing is who we are or who makes us what we are. And God is specifically telling us to throw it down, to demolish it. Praise God, all of that rebellion, all of that lying vanity, get rid of it and serve the Lord now. If you're not finding your identity in Jesus Christ, you are living a lying vanity. I assure you. Oh, but you don't know what I am at work. Or to my friends. You're a child of the King. You're a son of the living God. That's who you are. And you're wasting your time. And you're hurting the heart of your Father when we don't live by faith. We just hurt Him. And it's a hurt that I know as a daddy in a little way. When my children don't obey, I'm talking about and listen and heed to the love of instruction on how they should go. It doesn't make me mad. It breaks my heart. That's what happens. It just breaks my heart.
Right.
How much more, our Father? How much more? I think we're tender enough to talk that way about our dad. What do you think?
Amen.
And I do call him my dad.
Hallelujah.
He's my Father. He's so close. He's so dear to me. Now, how come I speak this way? Because I've been there. And we need to quit the pride, brothers and sisters. And really it is, it's a prideful thing when we step away from God. We need to quit trying to justify our miserable lives. Is that just the craziest thing that anybody could ever say? Really, look in the mirror and understand what I'm saying. We need to quit justifying our miserable lives because of pride and start to yield to God and live the joy of the Lord. Don't you want to live the joy of the Lord? Have you ever tasted and really seen that the Lord is good? He's so good. That cup of salvation is so fresh. It's so wonderful. And I challenge anyone in this place that has ever even for a moment by grace yielded to God. Has there ever been a greater moment? Has there ever been a more peaceful, satisfying, rejoicing, continuing time of your life? And I know, I see heads nodding and I see heads bowing. And praise be to God for both. Don't be ashamed. Remember how we started? In Jesus' name. And we're here in Jesus' name. And you can lift up your head in Jesus' name because you know what? He wants to see your face. He wants to see your eyes. He wants to see your mouth say, Lord, I love you. But you see, we need to quit having a heart. And we talked about this on Wednesday. And it is starting to really become a desire to tell you, brothers and sisters, because I know, because I've been caught there myself. I have sweet ministering vessels that tell me about the Word of God. And all I would say at that time, in a defiant heart, well, I know. I know. You know, why don't you just say it this way? Be quiet. Be quiet. Because that's really what you're saying, isn't it? Come on now. Or how's this? I'm not listening. I'm not listening. And God's got to get this through to our hearts. Break up the fallow ground. It's the same thing. It comes over and over and over that we need to be softened to the message of the gospel of Christ. The love of God is reaching out so greatly to young and old at this time that we need to be softened and finally have a heart that doesn't just say, I know, but says, God, do it. Just do it. Praise God. Quit saying after every failure, oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Oh, boy, did he step on something there. Ouch. Huh? I'm just being real with you today. Why? Okay, I'm being real with myself. I failed again. Oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Well, you know what? I am thankful for the grace of God. But instead of saying it that way, I'm thankful for the grace of God, how about finally not going back to the mire and really showing Him that you're thankful for the grace of God and allowing the grace of God to finally work in you to overcome it. That is the divine, wondrous grace of God that is available to you, and not tomorrow or not the next day, available to you now.
Praise, praise
Now. God's in the, He's in the work of now. He really is. It's so wonderful. He is the God of present. I know He's the God of everything, but for you, it's now. And that's what's so wonderful, is He wants you to yield now. Lord, just take this from me now. You can break this in me right now. Quit making excuses of why we don't surrender to God, why we keep running away from God, why we still have these pieces and corners in our lives that we're stiff-necked about, brothers and sisters, that we never want to give over to God. And how we deal with that is we think we need a change. No, we need the same Jesus Christ. Yesterday, today, and forever. I'm starting to hear this change things in the hearts of Christians. Oh, I need a change of scenery. I need a change in my job. I need a change. Maybe I need a change in church. Maybe I need a change in a spouse. Yes, I did say that. God help us. Do you believe God? Do we believe God? Brothers and sisters, to settle down. This, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ could come yet today. And I want to give every and any trial over to Him right now. Tomorrow might be too late. A full overcomer in Christ Jesus is exactly what it is. It's a heart that says, Lord, this is yours and this is yours now. And God, by grace, don't let me take it back. Don't let me take it back. Let's not be wishy-washy in the fish, in the belly of a fish. Jonah teaching you a lot of things. God, don't let me doubt. Let my faith be unfeigned. Let me just believe the word of God. Let me draw nigh to God. Believing that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Lying vanities. Are we going to turn to them? And are you going to forsake the mercy that is so available to you at the throne of grace? Look at that. They that observe the lying vanities, the empty lies, forsake their own mercy. The Word of God tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain what? Mercy. To obtain mercy. Tenderness. Compassion. Loving kindness. Comfort. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I need all of it I can get. Let me tell you, it's for you. You need all of it you can get. Praise you. Oh, yes. It's the Word of God. And the last thing I'd want to do is to forsake it. How about you? Amen. Always remember that there's only one place, brothers and sisters, that we're going to find this mercy. And that is in the throne of grace. And I want to tell you something as well, too. And the Lord quickened me last week. He said, son, how long are you going to sit in the belly of this stinking fish? Huh? How long are you going to sit in the belly of the stinking fish today? It was a lying vanity that got you there. And it's a lying vanity that's going to continue to have you stay here. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? God help us to break from it, brothers and sisters. And it's broken only one way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. See, He's coming. He's coming so soon. And we need all the mercy we can get. And, you know, as I was just rejoicing in the Lord, he said, you know, son, my mercy got wings. My mercy got wings.
Hallelujah.
Wings, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That'll have you soaring, son. And for you and for me, I'm telling you, we immerse ourselves in this mercy. And you might just be soaring out of here at a first trump.
Amen.
I'm telling
hallelujah.
You. I prayed on Friday night with my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm telling you, I was just about there. I may have been there. I don't even know.
Hallelujah.
It's so close. It is just so close.
Hallelujah.
Know it. Know it. Let's stand and worship Him. That's a good thing to do. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, dear God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord God. Thank you again for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise, praise, praise be to you, Lord, for your undying faithfulness, God. Thank you that you call us, Lord, even from the belly of hell. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. While every head is bowed, we say thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you just call out to us over and over and over and over in the love of God. Help us to just take heed. Help us to take flight. Help us to look into your Son's wonderful face and behold the glory of God. And in that we say thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.